Blog Talk Radio.
Born free, as free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart. Oh, live free, and beauty surrounds the world still astounds you each time you look at a star. Just stay free, where no walls divide you. You're free as the roaring tide, and they will need you hard. You're born free, and life is worth living, but only worth living.
Beautiful, Miss Kim. Welcome to Dry Bones Connection. This is Antoinette. And tonight, with Miss Kim, we're giving glory and honor to our veterans, to the veterans everywhere. We want to thank you and let you know that we appreciate everything that you've done for us. And just like the opening song, Born Free, we know that we're born free because of the work that you have done. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Miss Kim Weston. And we also have with us
Dilda Fontroy.
Yes, Billy Fontroy is with us. And he is one of our veterans, and we want him to know that we love him. And I want to also let y'all know that I'm sorry we had difficulties getting in and everything, and that's the reason why the showtime and everything had to change, and it played for 2 minutes, and it cut off, so...
But it wasn't our fault. It was not our fault. So we're going to move on. We give thanks to the Lord for getting us on this show. Brother Fontroy.
Yes.
Brother Fontroy, please say something.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Say something. Yeah.
Hi.
Yes,
this is Bill Fontroy. Hi.
Hello, Brother Fontroy.
Okay. Thank you. You got
okay,
me in tears. That born free
clear.
Was right. That born free was right. Hit the right spot. Thank you, Tim. You really let us all know what it is to be free. Thank you.
To God be glory. And that's
all
what
right.
The Tuskegee Admiral represented to me. That's why I feel like
thank
that's because
you.
Of you.
Thank you.
Well,
hello.
One of the reasons I'm wanting you to be here DuPont Road, because for the service that you all have given, I think that you all should be telling us why you did that.
Well,
you know, go ahead.
As a youngster born in Washington, D.C., where we couldn't vote for anything at one time, there was nothing that a resident of the District of Columbia, no matter what color or ethnic group he was in, you had no vote at all. And we had representation without we had no representation in Congress. People like Bilbo out of Mississippi ran the District of Columbia as far as money was concerned. We paid taxes like everybody else in the United States. We went to war like everybody else in the United States, but without vote. And my brother Walter was one of the first congressmen from the District of Columbia. He was a non-voting congressman, but he was able to get at least a vote for president. And it has been, we still don't have total representation. And that's one of the things. I'm very proud of my brother Raymond in Florida, who got people to vote in Florida where they could vote. They were represented. And he and Dr. King were able to get voting in the District of Columbia through people out in the states. And I'm just enthused by what Kim has told me she's trying to do. And I'm supporting her 100%. I don't represent all of the Tuskegee Airmen, but any of them that talk to me are going to support Kim and what she's doing.
Well, you know, what got it put in my heart is that we would not, I don't care how bad it is, we wouldn't be able to have it as it is. And it's better than most places. You know?
Absolutely.
You know, it's better than most, America is better than most places with all its faults. So you can, that's why I'd be saying blessed. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, we've got problems. And America's trying to tell everybody else what to do, but it's supposed to clean up its own house, you know? Because that's what I'm talking about, helping America clean up our own house.
You guys are, you know, just out of Michigan, out of Detroit. When Jeff just died here just a month or so ago.
Jefferson.
The stories that those men, yeah, Jefferson, who just died. I called him Jeff. I met him and became a friend. But Jeff talked about how, as a prisoner of war, the Germans treated him better than his fellow Americans who were Caucasian.
And he was treated according to his rank as an officer?
Mm-hmm. Right. As far as the Germans were concerned, that's the way they treated him. But he had problems with some of the other prisoners of war who were Caucasian. And the stories that they wrote and told us about. And one of the things for me, for example, I thought that the United States of America was my country, that I had to fight to keep people from taking my country from me. And I'm sure that most of the Tuskegee Airmen felt the same way. And they proved that they were able to combat with anybody in the world as far as aviation was concerned. Now, we had other troops who did an awful lot that you never read about or heard about. there's a book called Forgotten, and it talks about the blacks in World War II. And one of the things that surprised me, and I hope you get the book, was that in London, they had these dirigibles, the blimps that flew around London with thick wire hanging down from them, so that when airplanes came in, if they came in too low, they hit those wires and it would sink them. Well, that was run by black men. I had no idea that until just a few months ago when I got the book and started to read it. So those are the kinds of things that I hope young people listen to, people like myself, who I didn't do anything except I was being trained to be a single-engine pilot when the war ended. And, of course, they said that they heard we were coming and they quit. But all of the men who are Tuskegee Airmen, who are Buffalo soldiers, sailors who are black, they participated because they thought, as I did, that this was my country and I had to fight to keep it. So thank you for thanking us, and thank you for wanting to make sure that everybody in the world knows about what we as black people in the United States were interested in taking care of our country. And I want to emphasize our, because it's ours as much as it is anyone else. Thank you.
Hello. Well said. Well said. Well said. The album that the first song came from is the album that Your Favorite Voice was in, This Is America. And with where you ended up, I think that, could I hear Exodus, you think? Can I hear Exodus coming behind what he just said?
Yeah.
About our country?
Can I just play that right now?
Okay,
thank you. You want me to play that right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, here we go.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. Then I see a land where children can run free. Me, though I'm just a boy.
That's how they make me feel. That's how our veterans make me feel, and especially our custom airmen. And listen, the guy from Vietnam, I was on my way over there to let my brothers know I got your back.
Antoinette, let me say something. Thank you, Kim, for what you do. And I am honored. I am honored to be on a program with you and Kim. It just makes me feel like at least I'm able to do something now that I couldn't do during World War II. Now, in this area where I live, there are four documented original Tuskegee Airmen: John Curry, Dr. Ivan Ware, Johnson, who's a twin engine pilot, and myself. And I don't speak for any one of them, except that I will, if anyone asks me why I'm doing this, I'm doing it because Kim has impressed me with her desire to help make those men who changed the world, and particularly the United States, during World War II.
Well, you know what? I'm asking you, I don't know if it can be done, but it sure would be great to have the four of you all up on the show one night to let you all talk.
That would be great.
So we can hear what you all say. You know what I'm saying?
I can't speak. I can't speak for anyone except John Curry. John, who was 100 years old in August. Ivan Ware will be 100 years old in January. And I don't know Johnson's age, but I suspect he's younger than me because he was in the class behind me when he graduated as a twin-engine pilot. Now, John Curry was a twin-engine pilot also. But I will speak to them, but I can't guarantee that, you know, they have to make a decision.
That's all we
whether
ask.
Or not they want to do. Yeah.
That's all we ask. And if they don't want to be bothered, then they don't want to be bothered. And we honor that. But
not a matter of not wanting to be bothered. It's a fact that, for example, now John, like I said, lives around the corner from me. When back in 2007, when Bush gave us the gold medal, my brother Walter, who was the pastor at New Bethel Baptist Church, had a service, and we had all of the guys who were Tuskegee Airmen in the area to come to that service, and John came to that service, he and his wife. But we had a birthday celebration last year for him on his 99th birthday, and he refused to have a parade for him. He just wanted to have his wife and me present for the celebration of his birthday. And so, I can't guarantee. I'll ask, but I can't guarantee.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, if we don't feel like it, then we gotta honor that. You know, but I meant to ask you if you would give him the link for him to hear the show if he didn't feel like being bothered, you know, talking or anything. I wanted him to hear it so he would see how we flow and we respect, you know. But I'm just saying we need to hear. We need to hear. And if we don't hear, how are we going to learn? And who's got more information for us than you are? You know what? You all risk your life for us. And, and my thing is, it's our responsibility. We're waiting for somebody else to honor you. We've got to step up. It's our time to step up and honor our own. That's one of our problems. We have been fooled into not wanting to give praise where praise is due. Even if I don't like you, if you do a good job, I'm going to say that.
Right. Well, I'm just you can't believe how honored I feel that you want to hear from me as far as Tuskegee Airmen is concerned. But each Tuskegee Airman, for example, I think, has his own story. You know,
their
stories about Lena Horne and others who Joe.
You don't want to tell them when you met her, do you, huh?
Huh?
I say you don't want to tell them when you met Lena Horne, huh?
Oh yeah, I'll tell the story because I'm very proud that I was able to offer a service to Lena Horne because she was our Betty Gable. Okay, she was our pinup in World War II.
And I'm glad you were telling me about how she affiliated with the guys.
Yeah. Well, I was before I went into training, I was a person, they assigned me the job of signing airplanes to the various instructors and students. And to keep the ready room clean, because I was a private, okay. And this night, Lena Horne was on the base as a part of the troops getting entertainment. And she came to the ready room looking for a bathroom. Back then, we had one bathroom. In a toilet in the ready room, and it was for men, because that's the only thing that was there. So I escorted her to the bathroom, and then I stood guard while she was in the bathroom. But the thing is, I looked like Sad Sack. I had on a pair of dungarees that the crotch was down to my knees, and I rolled up to the elbow for the suit to fit me. So I looked like Sad Sack, but here I am standing guard for Lena Horne, and I will never forget that.
That had been quite an experience.
But, you know, like I said, she was our Betty Grable. Because of the way she, and like I had one classmate who lived around the corner from me. He's dead now, but he was in the hospital, and she came to visit him, not him, but all of the people who were in, the soldiers who were in the hospital. And he told me, he said, she came in dragging a mink coat all on the floor to see the soldiers there. That was the kind of thing that Lena Horne did that none of the other stars like Joe Louis and the entertainers that came there, they entertained us and then went to the officer club and then they left. But not Lena Horne. She went and saw all of the soldiers she could when she was on at Tuskegee anyway. Hello.
Well, that had to do a lot for the troops' morale and everything. And, you know, from what
right.
I understand, now Memorial Day, we give honor to the soldiers that did not make it back home. And Veterans Day,
absolutely.
We honor y'all. We honor everyone that made it home. And I understand
right.
that a lot of soldiers that did make it home, they did well. I'm gonna say, basically, in my opinion, everyone that didn't make it back home, that did make it back home, they still came home different than what they went in, you know, because
absolutely.
Everything that was seen, and even just if you didn't go to war but just going into the military, you change, you know, it has to change you.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, we also have a caller that they have their hand up, so I'm going to bring them in if that's okay with y'all, because they may have
that's
a question for you.
Fine.
But
it's okay.
If
all
you
right.
could also tell me how that is and when you go in, and I'll bring them in while you're doing that. Area code 706, I'm bringing you in now.
Evening, Ms.
Okay,
Jim.
Okay, brother.
Good evening, okay. Miss Kim Weston and Miss Antoinette and Brother Billy again. We talked this morning. Now we're here again this evening.
Hello, Brother Kwame.
Greetings.
Greetings. Blessings.
Greetings.
Yeah, what I was hearing is, yeah, we have Veterans Day, but Memorial Day. But even with Memorial Day being it that made their... There's a story about in the Civil War that all the soldiers that died in this area were buried in a mass grave, and the people got together and redug up the mass grave and made they reburied all the soldiers in proper graves, and that was around May 1st. And then they heard about it, and then they dedicated the May 30th was to be Memorial Day because the black folk buried their people, and it's a story about how Memorial Day became Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have one story about a Memorial Day parade. The Yemen always participated in that parade, and this year, for some reason or another, one of the people walked up to me and said, look, there's a soldier... A gentleman over here wants to talk to Tuskegee Airmen. And I was the only one available, so I went over and introduced myself. And the guy, it was an older white man who started to cry. And he said, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. And I had to explain to him. I said, well, I had nothing to do with that. I said, but the person who taught me to fly, Captain Jackson, did shoot down 3 German planes, and he was the one that was escorting you back home if you were in a bomber crew. So that touched me because I didn't have that kind of experience. When I said I didn't have that experience for someone to thank me for doing what a Tuskegee Airman had done, but. It made me proud because people like Captain Jackson out of Fort Worth, Texas, was one of the people who made sure our bombers got back, as shown by their record. Now, one of the things the record says that no one, or you hear rumors that no one was lost, no bombers were lost. Well, that's not true. We did lose bombers, but we lost fewer than all of the other Air Force units in the United States, which were all white. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still here. But I sent it to you, Antoinette, and that's where the story about Memorial Day. It was...
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot, this is why I say it's important for what you and Ms. Kim are doing, because that story that you just shared with that man being able to come to you and then you acknowledging you weren't one of the pilots, but you were trained by the person that flew and protected the bombers. See, this is the part of missing pages of world history is our story.
Absolutely.
And we have to begin to get these stories that you as elders have within you for us to be able to put it in the proper perspective to where we could pass down to generation to generation to generation.
Amen. All right.
You know, and these are key, and I thank Sister Antoinette. You know, and she's been very helpful in bringing, you know, Miss Kim to light and bringing you and Brother Ray to light. Because, you know, there are those that are out there, but they're wanting to do other things to get likes and brownie points on their website. But you're talking about remembering, as we were doing Wednesday show with Eddie, and being able mm-hmm. to say, you know, we're doing this show and here's her granddaughter that will be able to hear herself playing this back one day that her grandmother was talking to her on the show talking about our story.
Right. Well, again, thank you for having me here. And I hope I can let people know, you know, there are things that, like you say, they'll never know unless we tell them.
Right.
And,
for
example,
how many people know
the man that, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it's young people right now that you can go ahead, you know who Lena Horne is? They don't know.
Mm-hmm. No.
Young people today do not know Lena Horne because she's been put on the shelf and pushed back there. You know, they know Beyonce, they know mm-hmm. Lil' Kim, they know all of these other folks.
Right. Man, oh man. One of the stories I like to tell because it involves me, and that is the first person that I ever got in an airplane and flew with was J.O. Plimpton. He was an instructor in basic flying, and he took me up on a Sunday when the instructors used to fool around on Sunday because they didn't do any teaching on Sunday, so they get in flying time. And J.O. Plimpton asked me if I wanted to ride, and he, I, of course, said yes, because I'd never been off the ground in an airplane. And he took me up, and we became associates, I put it that way. He would talk to me. And the day I was leaving Tuskegee to come home, he said, Bill, why don't you come on and go to South America with me? I'm going to start an airline. Well, I was 19 years old. I had no idea what something like that meant. The only thing in my mind was that I had not graduated from high school, so I was going to go home and do that. He went to South America, started an airline. Eastern Airlines bought it and made him the first black vice president of a national, of a major airline. He was the first black vice president of Eastern Airlines. So those are the kinds of stories that the young people ought to know about people who did things for a country that, for the most part, did not respect them the way they should. And what you're doing now is going to make it understood by not only young black kids, but young white kids, Orientals, and anybody else who's in the United States understand what it is that for men to say, we're going to fight for something. And when they realize that they were fighting for something that didn't really appreciate it at the time.
Right, against all odds, too. Against all,
right.
I mean, can you imagine, I can't imagine anybody in this day and time that would have something compiled against them that goes all the way to the top. All the way mm-hmm. to the top. All the way to the top in the army. I mean,
mm-hmm.
until who's the one that went over there and straightened it out?
Mm-hmm.
General Davis, right?
No, yes, and Harry Truman. You got it, because Truman was the first. He after World War II integrated the military, which was, you know, before that, all during World War II. The Southern generals and commanding officers did what they wanted to do to maintain the power
segregation.
That they had.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in segregation. But Truman, to benefit to him, And, you know, I was reading the story last night after the program. Truman met these two guys who flew out of Chicago to come to D.C. And he met them and saw the airplane at the end. And he wanted to know, if you can fly from Chicago. If you can fly from Chicago to Washington, D.C. and that thing, I'm going to support you. And he was one of the first to support the blacks being trained as pilots. You know? So those are stories that you don't normally read about. There's a book called Black Wings that every library in a black neighborhood ought to have because it talks about aviation and blacks. And, for example, during World War I, there was a black pilot who flew for France because he couldn't fly for the United States, but he flew for France. So things like that. And Antoinette is making it
and
so
that
young people can go to the library and do study that.
What was the black woman that flew in World War I? She was and decorated by the French. By France.
Bessie Coleman.
Bessie Coleman. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right. I couldn't remember her last name. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bessie Coleman went over there, and that's where she got a license to fly, and then came back. And she was killed in an accident. But they used to have these shows after the war, and Bessie would jump, would fly in them. And there's some others. There's Brown. This is the story. She looked like, when I saw the picture, she looked like Lena Horne. But she was a pilot out of Chicago, and she was in New York for some reason, went into a newspaper place where back then the typewriters would be making noise, you know, and when she walked in, all the typewriters would stop because of what she wore. She wore Joffre's things that men wore to fly in. And she was a handsome lady, so I can't remember her name. But in that book that I'm telling you, Back Wings, you will see a picture of it, and you'll say, "Oh yeah, that's what that little turkey said. She looks like Lena Horne."
Mm-hmm. You were telling me. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's one of the, you know, those are the kinds of things that that are in books already. People have written books about them, and that's what my Tuskegee Airmen, and I don't need to write a book because most of them that have written books have done things that everybody ought to know about, like General McGee and Benjamin O. Davis and A-Train, C.C. Robinson. Those are guys that have written books and all, and God has blessed me because each one of those books that they've written that I have, each one of them has signed it to me. So I've had an opportunity to do what most people don't get an opportunity to do, and that is to sit
and that's what you can write about, Chief.
To listen. Well,
because that's a different phase of life right there. That's a different,
right.
And what you got from them inspired you to go to higher places. I'm sure, right?
Right. And I was inspired by those guys because, as I tell young people, you know, we've always been told about the crab in the barrel, how we, as blacks reach up and pull down the people who are successful. Well, that's not true as far as the Tuskegee Airmen are concerned. And I know that because they reached down and pulled me up to them. And
that's what I'm saying. We need more of that now.
Right. We need to let them know that you can get help. And nobody gets where they are. All of these people who have made it, when I say made it, they're
on their own.
Yeah. You always need some help from someone. You can't do it by yourself. I cringe when I hear somebody say, I pull myself up by my bootstraps. Well, where did you get the boots from? Somebody gave you the boots.
Well, I know, I tell you, I've been a loner all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And but God stepped in and have somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The man that took me on my Motown road, I met him one time. I don't even remember his name. But he stepped
mm-hmm.
in and changed my life, you know?
Yeah. And this thing, like him, you know, that's why I enjoy just talking to you, because we have parallel things. Like you say, somebody gave you the push that you needed that you didn't even ask for it. But
no, I didn't.
God put somebody in your path that says, hey, let's give her a boost, and this is the boost that you got. And I believe that. I very, very, very well believe that, because there are a lot of things in my life that I have done, not because of me, but because of somebody else who helped me, who gave me the push I needed. You know, those are things that I hope young people get to understand that. Please don't believe that the only way you're going to get up is that you do it by yourself. You can't.
Well, you know what? They're not doing it by themselves because they got my money. That money, all that money
right.
they got, a bunch of that is mine because they kept my money and they gave it to the ones that they know wasn't going to do nothing with it.
Hmm. Okay, I never thought of it that way, but you actually, there are not too many who come back and do, like you say, that use the fact that they made money to do stuff that would help somebody else come up to where they are and maybe exceed them. I was reading in the paper this morning about a young man who started a candle business in this area, in the D.C. area. He's a teenager, and it was all because his mother, I think it was his mother, couldn't abide by candles that had different making, and he developed a candle that she could handle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things that one of my assignments, and even with the
mm-hmm.
veterans, he put the veterans and community coalition on me because from what I've heard from the veterans, the community don't understand, and then they're not really
right.
interested in it because you know, but they got to be, we got to get them to be interested. And the people that have to save our lives, you know?
Right. Well, Kim, I'm so proud of you and what you do and how honored I am that you think that I can help. Thank you.
Ain't no doubt about it, because I wouldn't have been able to go this far without you and the things that you've told me. See, that's what I'm saying. I've gotten so much information
okay.
from you and Brother Kwame,
okay.
Brother Kwame. You were in the Vietnam War,
mm-hmm.
right, Brother Kwame?
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Baby, baby?
I was
yeah.
in Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Are you on mute? Uh-huh. And just,
no,
and,
I was
and
on
just
mute.
Like,
I was on
uh-huh. Okay. Well, I want to say this, and then I want you to say something. Just like when the Tuskegee Airmen came home, when they walked off the boat, there was somebody telling them, back to the right. Mm-hmm. After all they had done, saved the world, and to come back home, and then was nobody there to meet them. Was mm-hmm. nobody there to meet them. The white people had their parades and their confetti, that's what you call it, stuff. The band and all of that. All they had was somebody telling them to go to the right. And fill it up wherever they go. And I'm just saying, after doing something like that, saving the world, and you come home, and that's the way you're treated, no appreciation. That is our responsibility to let you all know that you all really were the beginning, really, of the stand-up thing. You all were, because I haven't read anywhere where men just said no. 101 men say what you're doing is wrong. It's wrong, and it's wrong to me, and we're not going to accept it. So what they did. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you got an excellent point, Ms. Kim. And, you know, the old saying is, give me my flowers while I'm still alive so I can smell them.
Still alive.
The part that we're doing is you look at Billy, you look at his friend who just turned 100, you look at just a handful in the country, how many Tuskegee Airmen and World War II veterans are there left? Not even, I don't even believe it's 1,000 even left.
Oh, no, ain't no 1,000. I don't think it's 200 now.
That's what I'm saying. But what I'm sharing is what little group that we have left is like what Obama did when he brought the Tuskegee Airmen and to wherever they did in D.C. and brought them there. This is what needs to happen to where you got Kanye and you got Yang and all these folks on the media and blowing them up. But today is Veteran Day. Why haven't you gathered and went around and interviewed each one of those that are still alive from it? How many homeless people, half of the population of homeless people in Atlanta are Vietnam veterans, in Los Angeles, in major cities.
And there's no excuse
men,
for them. There's no excuse for a veteran not to have a roof over his head.
That's right.
And that's what I'm sharing.
Homeless, there shouldn't be a need for anything. We should not have a veteran in need of anything. So, I'm sorry, Brother Kwame.
Right.
And caller, I'll open your line in a moment. Okay, go ahead, Brother Kwame. I'm sorry.
But what I'm sharing is that what we need to do, if they're not doing, we need to create reboot camps. If they're going to send our young men and women into boot camps, when they discharge them from coming out of the military, damaged or whatever, they need to go through a reboot camp so they can be reacclimated and re-put back into the community they were taken
Amen.
From.
Amen.
And that's what I was talking about with the art, in my program, the program that I had for the youth. That what it does is it makes you find yourself.
Yes, but what you have to do is what they do, what we call Native Americans have what they call the shadow man. When you were a warrior, you went out and you did the battling. When you came back, you went with the medicine people, and you were taken away until they could get that shadow off of you so you could come back as a husband, a son, a father, a brother that left with some semblance of what you had, what you left from.
Before,
you bring that back
into
the community. You don't bring back a damaged PTSD drug strung out person back in the community.
And you dump them in the community.
Right.
And you dump them in the community. But you took a whole man with a loving heart and you taught him how to kill, destroy, and do that.
Kill.
And then you take and throw him back into your community.
Then the only thing he knows is how to kill.
And
the ones that don't know how to kill.
That has the computer skills and know how to fly the drones and all, they working for corporations that's paying them top dollar. But How many of those look like us?
Mm-hmm.
See, you learned to fly planes, Brother Billy, but you've got young men and women now that are sitting here that are remote controlling drones that fly. They sit here in United States and fly a drone that blow up something in Iraq or Iran.
That's
how much technical skills that they have. We need that in engineering in our community.
Mm-hmm.
We have another caller I'm going to bring down there. Area code 740.
Good evening, elders. It's Brother Jeff on the call. Happy Veterans Day.
Good evening, Brother Jeff.
I am doing well, Sister Antoinette. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you.
Awesome.
Good.
Thank you for bringing me in.
You're a veteran also, so I'd like to thank you for your service that you've done.
Most definitely. I covered the Gulf War, Desert Storm era veteran thing that you all are talking about tonight. We all have been misdirected and not given the proper exiting counseling that all the others seem to get. When you're exiting the military, you're supposed to not only have an interview, but you're supposed to have a medical review. They're supposed to send you through all sorts of batteries and tests, go over your medical records. If there's any anomalies, they take care of that stuff before you get out.
Yeah.
Case in point with me, I wasn't given that counseling. When it came time for me to get out, I was like, have a good life, soldier. So I went on my merry way, you know, just ignoring all the pain, ignoring everything that I went through, because throughout my military career, I was told that nothing was wrong with me, even though I was still in pain, still suffering, and all this other good stuff. So we're not educated as black men, as whatever you decide you want to deem yourself in this American, I call it American mess. I joined the military for college. I wanted to get educated so I can better myself and better my family.
Right. And protect your family.
We just don't get the same counseling. We don't get the same guidance that others get. I don't want to put a label on them, but we all know what we're talking about. So today, everyone has some great ideas out there. I think as long as we can understand that our language and our culture has been taken away from us and hidden, I think we can move forward with the understanding that, hey, we got a lot to learn. We have a lot of examples that we can go off from other cultures and continue to listen to the elders, you know, listen to their stories. You know, so anyways, I don't have too much more to add. I just wanted to come in and say thank you to all you elders talking on, Ms. Weston. I think Brother Ray or his brother's on, and Elder Kwame and yourself, Elder Antoinette. So other than that, I'm going to go on mute and listen to all the good ideas and the wonderful conversation that's going on right now. So thank you for your time, and thank you for your energy.
Thank you, Valen.
And you're right on it.
Miss
Kim. I have Brother Eddie on it. Brother Eddie, we want to thank you also for your service. And Brother Eddie is he's our partner. He's our partner on this show, Brother Eddie.
Bless
greetings,
you.
Family. How's everybody doing this lovely? Blessings to you, Miss Cam. It's this lovely Veterans Day evening. And again, as everybody has already expressed, happy Veterans Day to all. The veterans are still here, and to the spirits of all the veterans that have made their transition. So, yes, family, good to be with you. Right quick, I don't know if you anybody mentioned how Veterans Day came to be on November 11th.
No, they haven't. Come on, give it to us.
Okay. Well, basically, Veterans Day marked the official end of World War I.
Mm-hmm. And on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month
of the 11th month
of the 1918, the Allied mm-hmm. forces and Germany came together to sign a peace treaty. And that was the peace treaty that was signed back in 1918, November 11th, on the 11th hour. But it wasn't called Veterans Day. It wasn't, it was renamed Veterans Day in 1954. This is when we refer to it as Veterans Day. But that's basically what it signifies, the end of World War One and a treaty being signed.
Called
Thank
Honest
you, Brother Eddie.
Day, yeah.
Thank
oh,
you.
Yeah. So in 11-11, as we know, metaphysically, family, hey, this energy that's coming in, and it's a reason that they did it back then on that 11th hour on 11-11, but we're back on that 11-11. It happens every year with this energy, and we're still getting bombarded by the flow of energy from the blood beaver red lunar, total lunar eclipse that we just had at the beginning of the week. So now we're still in that effect. And it's great that this energy on Veterans Day is being radiated. It's being showered down upon us, family. So if y'all been feeling different vibes of energy, make sure your thoughts are positive.
Absolutely.
Well, positive comes to 11. Thoughts come to 11. Positive thoughts, guess what, family, is 11-11.
May I say something, a thought that I've had, Brother Eddie, a thought that I've had for quite some time is that if the veterans would come together, I'm sharing the veterans and community, but if the veterans would come together, they're the ones that put their lives on the line and say what they want in this country and the community stand behind them, it wouldn't be like it is.
We have the ability to bring in civil authority and put these damn people under arrest. If we come together, we could be the MOAB.
Yes, we can.
A lot of these shenanigans.
That's why they keep us so distracted and so divided with nonsense. But you brought to mind real quick, Ms. Kemp, about veterans and the veterans, but just that word itself, family, it's not a coincidence. Veteran comes up to 29, 2 plus 9 is 11. It is not a coincidence. We just don't see the numbers behind everything they put in our face. It's hidden in plain sight. But yes.
But if you seek the truth gonna make it free.
But that's the key. For me, I've been given the truth behind these occult words of English. That, again, as the brother said, it's not our culture, but we were already embedded with this divine gift that at this time that we're going through, that all this will be revealed. So everybody has
the
their part.
The first shall be last, Brother Eddie. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
That's why when you even look at that, I broke that down in the class. First comes the 29. 2 plus 9 is back to that 11 time.
Oh, look at that.
And by the way, if y'all want to know what black comes to, black is 11. That's why the last is black is going to be first. We're going to be put back where we're supposed to be. But all these sayings by the numbers hidden in plain sight. And I just laugh because, again, the truth, because today 11-11 comes to 4. 31 is truth.
as you just said, Ms. Kim. Mm-hmm. True.
God be the glory. God be the glory.
Hey, see, and God is 13, family. Mm-hmm. You just returned 31, and 4 is still there. God is 13. That's the 4. That's who we are today. So all this energy of this positive power that we're all getting inundated with on a daily basis. As I wake up 11:11 and say, every day gratitude, every day comes to 11 and gratitude is 11. Every day I say it, baby. When I wake up, I didn't have to wake up. So I got to give gratitude. So that's waking up with that 11:11. And I know we all do it in our own way.
God be the glory.
See.
You know what? This family, I'm telling you what I'm seeing, is awesome. It's awesome. Uh-huh. And there's no action that we are together.
Oh, there's nothing.
I think we all got something that the other one needs, right?
That's the peace that we all have. We all have a part. We all have a peace. And we're learning how to accept one another's peace, not be all argumentative.
That's
about
true.
The way somebody is giving. It's if you are able to truly digest it, it's something in it for you, not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a piece to share. If we just
and you
lay
take,
back.
You yeah. take the part that's good for you and the rest of it, you let it go on.
There you go. That's it. That's it.
All right.
See? And we ain't got to argue about all the rest of the stuff that is unnecessary. Just like the artists we are, we chisel away the non-essential garbage. Even when you hear it, discard it.
Mm-hmm.
So that we get that fine crystal, that diamond, after being under all this darn pressure. All our lives. It's time
but
to shine,
you know
family.
Yeah,
but
right.
You know what? I agree with that. I agree with that because I'm definitely coming out. I'm on the offense now.
Mm-hmm.
Periodically, I do that. But I only do it when I'm told to do it because it ain't my fight.
Mm.
No.
That's... That's it.
I want to help God out because it's taking him too long.
It's
that's me, you know. But it ain't my fault. It's your. He's been working on his show.
He's working on all of us.
Well, I can only tell y'all about me. What he's been doing, what he's been doing is so awesome. I don't even know how to explain it. But you will see. You will see.
Mm-hmm.
And next year. But God told me he was coming in a fury. He told me that in California about 10 years ago. That he was coming in a fury. Because I said, all we see is negativity. Where are you, God? I know what you can do because I know what he's done in my life. You know what I'm saying? So I don't even try to force mine on nobody because I know what I know. You know, they say when you know what you know that you know, I know what I know about God and me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but I'm saying the God that I know, why waiting and letting all this happen? Because all this, you don't have to do nothing but say a word. I really don't have to do that. I'm wave his hand. People don't believe it, but he needs to show them. They need to see something. Straighten up some of this stuff, you know? It's a different kind of enemy now, you know? We talk about the enemy that you had in with the Tuskegee Airmen and Vietnam and all of that. But it's a different kind of enemy. It comes with that technology.
Yep.
But there is the other side too. And that's what I'm wondering. It's time for us to step up. And we don't have to do, we don't have to fight like that because our fight is not mm-hmm. coming. The energy that we're feeling now, if we open up, it'll do what it's supposed to do. Like you say, the positivity, the right words. And the Bible, it says that the word is sufficient unto itself to bring itself to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that? I know you
are. Amen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yes, 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 yes. See, because that's what I'm into, the word by the number, and that's by the grace of God, you know, again. Mm-hmm. Those numbers that I use are constantly slapping me in the face. And you use them constantly, see, because that energy that we're feeling, the spiritual family, that energy is truth.
Mm-hmm.
That energy is the real. Absolute. That energy is
real.
God. That energy is, thank you, real. Now, everything we just said, real is 13.4, God 13.4, absolute 31.4. Better 31.4, spiritual 4, spirit 31, truth 31. I mean, it's all four. It's a protection. We say God is your protection is four. It's the number that God is revealing to us. That's his number with the word, the whoop they whoo
all
by
right.
their word. As it has written, so shall it be. We got everything we need. But we say what? With their language. With God
don't
in
matter.
Front. It don't
like
matter. I said, yes,
right.
we got
right.
it.
Don't matter.
See? And the thing is Ms. Cam, you said, why God? For me, I feel that the Creator, God, is waiting on his people.
Yes, he
we
is.
We ain't
yes,
just like
is.
You said, we trying to get all this together. We trying to get a movement of our people to get on the right track. It ain't enough yet. Even that number says 144,000. Do we even have that yet? That's ready to really commit. See?
But you see, the thing is, we got to start with the one.
Oh, yeah.
See, that was the thing about the Tuskegee Airmen. Each one of them committed themselves. They were committed to the cause.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
They were committed to making a difference for their people. Excuse me, I'm
mm-hmm.
not talking
about
that.
And that's
people just walk around like, they walk around like, I mean, it's supposed to be this way. Somebody paid a price for you to be there and doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So as you're saying, and as we're seeing, they are an example. And at least we still have Brother Billy and others that are still here to be living examples, living in our mm-hmm. presence. And we take it. It's just mm-hmm. like, again, a relay race. For me, everything is spiritual.
Right.
So that relay race that we're racing, we're in that last leg, and the baton that we pass off is the truth. It's
mm-hmm.
spiritual. This is why we pass in the baton. The baton represents that spiritual truth. And we got to keep it
that's
moving. True. See, because
that's
the race,
what's making.
That's the
that's
key.
I don't know what to believe.
It's the spirit right now. When we say we weak, it ain't got nothing to do with your strength. It's spiritually weak. We're in a spiritual war, and we're not prepared. When we even hear each other, we're talking about a readiness prepared kit on the physical and material, but I ain't never hearing the spiritual, family. It's the spirit that's weak. Weak is 13.
The spirit's not weak.
God,
the spirit's not weak. No, the spirit's
not
weak.
I'm not saying.
What I'm saying, you're right about the weakness, but when the spirit is not being recognized.
But that's what I'm saying. The weakness is in the individual, not the spirit in and of itself. See?
Absolutely.
So that's what the problem is. The people's spirits are weak.
if I may interject.
And that magnetic force is waiting for the people's spirit to elevate. The help is there. It's waiting in the ether, in the air, in the cosmos. But even our mental thinking, as Kwame said, we get back and we ain't got nothing set up and prepared to help these people get back into a regular civil life.
Education.
Coming out of a state of war. And seeing that here in Chicago, Chirac is daily, where people are in war zones in their neighborhood. That's all over the country, though, family. We can say this in all our major cities. We don't have anything set up for mental health care for these people who are going through PTSD. And they ain't even in the military. We've been there. We've been shot.
Generation.
See? Yeah. And see? And then we can't get mad at pointing the finger at what we would call the white man when we looking at our own brothers killing one another, our sisters and babies.
Education, yep.
See? So, no.
Yep.
We got, like we say, I always hear each one teach one, We miss one step. Each one got to reach one before we can teach. If I'm not reaching these knuckleheads out here, I ain't teaching them nothing.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
I got to reach them. We got to reach our youth. I've been given to reach them through numbers and words because it captivates anybody I talk to. Because I'm going to make it personal to you. Using your number to help you seek the God in you. See, I don't even see no preachers doing nothing like that with whatever they've been given to do. See, but I ain't got time to point fingers at nobody else. Time is short, family. Everything we've been talking about, as you said, Ms. Kim, if people don't see it now, by next year, 2023, the seven, and seven comes to see. It comes to witness. It comes to recognize. And game, recognize the game, baby. If they don't recognize it by next year, hey, the blind going to continue to lead the blind. You know.
But those that have ears to hear and eyes to see.
They will see and they will hear.
Yeah.
But those that have eyes to see. So if we say for those that have eyes, that means there's some people that ain't got no eyes to see. Don't want to see. But that's their problem. Because if I do what I'm supposed to do and you don't try to see it, that's not my problem.
That's it.
Yeah, Brother Jeff was trying to come in and say something. Brother Jeff, you wanna go now?
Sure, but I just wanted to retouch on what Brother Eddie was saying. He was just hitting the nail right on the head. I don't think I need to add any more than he already did. Thank you, my brother. That was right on point.
Thank you, my brother.
Go home.
Thank you.
Sister Antoinette, you know, came back on. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Thank you. I'm okay, Brother Eddie.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, she's not sounding. She's not sounding good. We need to.
I'm okay. Honestly, I want to make sure that all of y'all are given the honor, and I thank Brother Eddie for coming in and helping me because this is a day that you know we're supposed to be recognizing him and all of y'all, and you know he came in to help me, so I truly appreciate him. That you know he's still fighting, you know, he's still carrying on. And I thank y'all because y'all are still carrying on and y'all are still fighting despite how the lack of everything that's been given your fellow soldiers and everything that were with y'all, that not everything is the way how it should be for our veteran. I truly apologize to all of y'all that things are not right. Are not right for y'all and for all of y'all. You know, just Because of y'all, we have the freedoms that we have, and we continue to have, even in these current wars, occupations, in these lateral years. And I'm grateful to y'all for that because, you know, my generation, you know, other than the Vietnam War, you know, these later wars, but, you know, we don't know, fully understand everything that, you know, y'all went through in the beginning, Brother Billy, and you, Brother Kwame, mm-hmm. you know, with the wars that you were in. I mean, it's just a continuous thing, but with all the continuous wars and everything that we're in, we still have our veterans that we have to still give thanks to, because it's because of y'all that we're still able to stand and do anything that we do today, even during this show. You know, it's because of the sacrifices and everything that y'all did and putting your lives on the line by being a part of this. So I truly thank y'all and give honor to y'all.
Thank you, sister.
Likewise. And I just want to say, though.
Thank you.
Say that we don't have that integrity, the dedication. We don't have what we've had in the people that are willing to volunteer themselves for the country. See, regardless of what was going on, the people that volunteered, they felt that they could make a difference. Mm-hmm. We don't have people wanting to make a difference. They're talking about how it is, how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
Hmm? I want to say it's misplaced. It's misplaced anger. You know, people are angry, they're hurting, but it's misplaced. Instead of fighting within, you know, they need to learn how to fight on the outside, because the fight that we're fighting is bigger than within your communities, within your cities. It's bigger than that. It's a global fight. It's a spiritual fight. You know, as you and Brother Eddie say, it's spiritual. But the fighting is within, on this natural realm and flesh. And that's not the fight. So it's a misplaced anger. It's a misplaced fighting and not knowing. I think for the young people and for the people that are out here in this, it's a fight that they really don't know how to fight, and it's a fight that they have to be taught. They, you know, like,
but they cannot win.
You know, we have to
win. They can't win, and neither can we. They cannot win, and neither can we, unless we reach for something higher than ourselves.
Yep. That's right. That's absolutely right.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
Again, everybody's on point. But let me just narrow it down. We're in a fight, and this is our fight, but our fight is spiritual, like we said. Fight is 31, family. God said, the fight is mine, is the Lord. Lord is 13, fight is 31, but our fight in it is spiritual. See, this is why we're saying we're in a spiritual war. See, it ain't
we
about
wrestle not against flesh and blood.
There you go. I'm just about to say that. Right on. See, flesh and blood is principalities. Guess what, family? Principalities come to 56, 5 plus 6. Ain't we on 11-11, darn it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers are telling us right in the Bible what we talking about right now. I see it. I'm telling us we on the same part, but we got to narrow it down and get a little bit more focused. And be more detailed.
Absolutely.
That's all. Once we put those ingredients into the pot, we gonna start seeing what we're talking about.
Brother Eddie, you know what?
Yes, ma'am.
What everybody say that the internet is the devil's work, but I'm gonna tell you what I saw, as far as God is concerned. When you go to Google, you gotta have that question right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You can't ask no silly question and expect to get the answer you're looking for. Well, God's
right.
Letting us see. God's using Google to let us see some of him. Because when we go to him, when they say we ask amiss, that means that we got too much on our mind, I guess, when we ask you a question. So he's saying, I don't want that. You got, let me know what you're talking about.
Now, I'm with you. That's a beautiful way of looking at it. But again, I stay with the numbers. And like I said, the words change, but the numbers stay the same. The God and Jesus Christ is all these words we're using today and technology and my is God and Jesus, but we don't say it. When we say the internet, that's God and Jesus Christ by number. See, they're using God and Jesus Christ's number and they're giving it another name. See? When we say, who has the power over our children today, God and Jesus Christ or the internet, where are they going to go? The internet is still God and Jesus Christ, but they don't know how to use it. Just like you're saying, no, we're going to find what we want once you know how to what? Ask the question the right way. You can go anywhere and ask people questions. And if you ain't asking them the right question, and especially if we are black, melanated, whatever people want to call, because for me it's a number, and that two black is the universe to me. I don't see us as the, I see us connected to the, anyway, it's another story. But once we really start to key in on what's being used and see these words that represent the numbers, because even biblically, when it says, if you take the mark of the beast, the name of the beast, or even the number of his name, that replies to God and Jesus too. We not took the number of their name, and we don't even know it. See? So that's what my part to reveal in all of this. That's why it's hidden right in front of us, family. We speaking all in it, around it, against it, and don't see it really. My part is just to put that little piece, and that's just a little bitty piece, in the mix. So when we fix it, we really fix it. See? Because it's up to us to fix us.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about as far as the Tuskegee and as far as our donors are concerned. The whole world needs to say thank you because they saved the whole world, not just America. Not just America. Thousands of men were dying per day until the Tuskegee Airmen came. And the bombers named them angels. Red-tailed angels. The bombers named them angels. As a matter of fact, the bombers would request them. And in my research, I saw where several bombers say they know that they saved their lives. And they were grateful. They didn't even know they were black. And when they found out, they didn't care. Because they got service that they had not been getting. And they were able to do their job. And see, that's what people don't understand. If you do your job, do what you can do. Don't try to do what I do. Do what you can do. You do it good, I do mine good, what we got. Hello?
You still there?
Yeah, I put myself on mute. So I won't be heard in the background. So we here, Ms. Kim. You go ahead, because I got my pencil and pad.
No. I'm going on mute for a minute.
If I may.
Bless you. I love you.
Yeah, go on mute. Education, that's what it is. It's everything that Brother Eddie and Sister Weston is saying is education, education. You think about this. Tuskegee Airmen came in under a different education system. A lot of the Dunbar school systems were in place back then, so that's what they were educated on. They had more pride about their culture, more education about their history, family history. That's what's missing today, just education, who we are as a people, who are our ancestors. And I'll tell you what. I pulled up my grandmother's death certificate, and on it they had her listed as an Afro-American, an Afro American. On my mom's death certificate, black. So there's a lot of miseducation going on as to who we are. When we try to correct that, we get a lot of psychological warfare from gatekeepers. So just be aware of that. What we can do is what I'm trying to do is put myself in the position to be an example to the younger people. And when they come up to have conversations with me, I try to educate them on, hey, find out who your grandmother was. Find out who her mother and father was, so on and so forth. And that's how you'll discover who you are. And relate that to American history, it brings a lot of power into a young
but
person.
Could I ask, Brother
Go ahead,
Jeff.
Brother, go ahead.
Yeah, you touched on a very key important part, and this is what we have to look at, Mandelaing. Your grandmother's birth certificate said Afro-American?
Her death certificate, yes.
Her death certificate. Okay. And on her birth certificate, so how did she change from what was on her birth certificate to what's on her death certificate?
That's the gatekeepers doing that.
Yes, and this is what we have to challenge. Because what they're doing is the same thing, keep relabeling us the way that they want to identify us as.
They're stealing our nationality, our birthright.
That's true. Because if you pulled up, if she was native with Native American and you put Afro on there, you take away all her rights when they do that.
Yep, you're right.
And let me add this with the numbers, because I love it, because I kept hearing that number of consciousness, 7, come up. And along with 7, as has been stated, education, 34, which is 7. But one of the first educations that we need to have with our family and youth is culture. Culture is 34, which is 7. See? We lost our culture.
Absolutely.
Or our culture, as they said, was stolen, taken, this, that, and the other. But again, just by going back to our elders. What's that?
I just said integration.
Yeah, well, see, that all that. See, that was part of the scheme to get us to buy in, to think that they wanted us. They still showing us they don't want us.
But
see,
and can I go ahead, Eddie? Finish.
You go ahead, Kwame. I'm through.
Okay, and what you spoke about in the part of the Dunbar schools, and this is what Brother Billy can attest to. We had colored schools, and we did more in our schools in. Once we were able to, even before the captivity was over, we were knowing how we came here literate, and they made us illiterate. We were brought to this continent literate, and we were made illiterate. And the other part was we had a culture of people that had a language, they had a government system that was here before the invaders even came here. This is what they copied when they got here. See, we're looking at education. No, that's miseducation, as Carter G. Woodson put it. Education is the word, it says induce. It means to bring out what each one of our ancestors had within them. And they began to give the guidance in what nature teaches. You can get a PhD in nature by just watching what goes on in nature. And what's above us with the changing of the seasons and the weather and all the things in the creation, these are the way our civilization was civilized. This miseducation has got us in this uncivilized situation.
Chuckle. The thing that they took out of the school systems these days, that those brothers in the Tuskegee Airmen were studying the civics. They don't teach civics anymore, so people aren't learning how to comprehend what they're reading. We're just taught to be impatient.
Yeah, but even what you're sharing there, because my great-grandmother went to Rush College, which was one of the second HBCUs in this country. And I have her teaching certificates and the book that was printed in 1899, because they created the schools. Most of what you see, even in the indigenous teaching, there was an African teaching, the first native that wrote the first Native American book that became the first Native American doctor in this country. That was in the early, late 1700s, 1800s. He went on to teach in Haiti. These are the stories, are the missing pages of our story. And yep. This is where we have to begin to check this, because that's why they don't want the part for them to be disclosed in the critical race theory and the 1619, because this day that's coming up at the end of November is a massacre. They were thinking that they had massacred enough people to get more land and take their land for what those people had helped them to do.
Yep.
See, we have to get, half truth is a whole lie. And this is why they are fighting tooth and nail to keep that lie alive.
Yeah, all you have to do is research.
Brother Kwame, is that not what they're doing today? You know, the black man helped, like y'all helped establish with all these wars so that we were able to win these wars and for y'all to come home. And now, even back then, when y'all came home from being, away, being overseas or, however, y'all's participation in helping with this country, that y'all came home and even then they're trying to destroy y'all.
But what I'm sharing, Sister Antoinette, is a good point. But we didn't even leave the country. Who was the first person killed in the revolution?
I don't know.
Christmas addicts. Native American.
Oh,
Indigenous
boy.
American Native. India.
Christmas addicts. Leading a charge of protesters, the British shot him first. And the lieutenant that was ordered that and had him shot and killed was defended by John Adams. John Quincy Adams' father was a barrister that defended the British officer and got him off. That's why when you seen Armistead, you seen Adams defending Sienkiew, because he was defending for what his father had done wrong. That's why they showed his statue, his bust in the Supreme Court. You gotta know the stories.
Yeah, they got some shenanigans going on with the history, so they like to hide the truth, make it hard for people to find it. They don't make it easy.
Right, because the Native Americans fought. The black Native Americans here, we fought. And the thing that they were doing, there was another captivity was going. They were taking all of the eastern board natives, were not killed and captured, were sent down to the West Indies on ships and traded.
Yep.
See, we gotta stop being miseducated, because even though we're sending our children to these you're not a PhD and a master's degree of a white woman and a PhD of a black woman. That white woman still has more respect than that one that has more respect, that has that PhD that's sitting on the Supreme Court.
Depending on who you're talking to, yeah.
Yeah, but she gonna have it because one simple thing, she got the complexion for the protection.
Yeah, I think that's dispelled. That's starting to be a myth. But you're right, Elder. You're right. It's education needs to be revamped and relooked at. And, you know, the English language, hey, there's an etymology behind the English language. So
but you
if people
know
don't understand that by
the
now, then that's the problem.
Yeah, but you know who started the Board of Education? John D. Rockefeller paid about $10 to $12 million to these organizations to change
and
the
William
education. He says we do not want thinkers, we want workers.
William T. Gates.
Right.
And John D. Rockefeller, they collaborated on that whole public education
right.
thing back then.
That and we still in that same system that they copied from the what? Austrians. In overstanding that you are have to understand world, that's why you have to stand up when a teacher walks in the room.
I want to play a song, if y'all don't mind. This is one that this is from the album that Miss Kim has made for our veterans, but the song in particular that I want to play is The Impossible Dream. And Eric, I bet Miss Kim can.
Could I add something? Because me and Miss Kim talked about that this afternoon when she was asking what to play. And yeah. I said, play it. Yeah, okay, Impossible Dream. No, that means it's impossible to have dreams. That's what impossible means. You take the first two letters and says, I'm. Possible.
You missed the class. We did a class on impossible.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, but so, that's what I was sharing with her when she picked her. She wanted to know what to play.
Yeah.
Vibe is
oh,
good.
But it's 11:07. It's 11. It's 11:08. So we, and in 3 minutes it'll be 11:11, 11:11. So go ahead and play our
yes,
song.
Yes, it will. Okay, and the song is 3 minutes. Okay, here we go, y'all.
To dream the impossible dream.
Impossible dream.
To fight
oh.
the unbeatable foe. To bear. With unbearable sorrow to run where the brave dare not go. To right the unrightable wrong. Oh, to love pure and chaste from afar. To try when your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable
Yeah.
to be willing to march
called 1111.
To God be the glory.
You and, yeah, you and Walter should sing a duet with that song.
I was just thinking about it. I've heard him sing it a couple of times. He does a great job. Thank you. Thank all of you all. I don't know if you all realize what happened tonight. Is y'all right with me? To God be the glory. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Yes, we had a lot of obstacles that came up against us.
Yeah. They kicked in the internet off.
Thank you all for your time, energy, spirit, and love. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, thank you, and we appreciate you.
And we've only just begun, y'all.
Well, I'm standing here, and I was playing Letting Miss Kim Sing to the Moon.
That's what I'm shooting for.
Well, if you miss, you'll fall among the stars, which you are.
God be the glory wherever I land. But I tell you what, man, I know he has given each and every one of us something that ain't nobody else got. And if we work on whatever that is, can't nobody touch it. That before I leave here, that's what I'm working for. I want to shine like God intended for me to shine. And that's what you all are doing for me. You're pruning me. Hey.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
And that's
God
good
be
the
thing. Lord. Thank
yes.
you. And thank you.
Okay.
Thank
good
you.
Night.
Dota Fontoy.
Yeah.
Dota Fontoy, God bless you. I love you. I thank God for
thank
you.
Thank you.
I thank God for you, Brother
thank
Kwame.
You.
Brother Eddie, I thank God for all of you, man. Connect to you, Lord, I love you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, and we can't forget Brother Jeff. And we're still
thank
going
you.
Through things from when he was in war and occupying. So, you know, Brother Jeff, hopefully, you know, maybe one of the brothers here will be able to assist you in the things that you're going through right now, then they can help you.
Yes, they have.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what this
yeah.
is for.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Kwame has been instrumental, mm-hmm. especially me maintaining my spiritual sanity, for lack of a better term. So I really have to pay a lot of homage to him. He's given a lot of energy, you know, not just to
we
myself,
got it,
but
brother.
So thank you. Sister Antoinette, she's listened to my cries and my pleas for, you know, God to come in and help me. So thank you for her time as well. And, you know, everybody else, Brother Eddie, I've been around the block with him a few times in the past too. So thank you for doing what you do. Everybody has had a small role in me keeping my sanity together so I can move forward. Do
bless
those
you,
things
bless,
that I need
bless,
to do for my family. So I appreciate all of you all.
Bless you, God. Bless
and just remember,
you.
God loves you more than we do. Okay. love
yes,
you
yes.
all.
Peace and love,
you.
Family.
Thank you.
Peace and love.
Thank you.
Brother Jeff, you are insane, which means, brother, you are in your sanity, bro. So you stay in. Your sanity.
Absolutely.
Don't let nobody else pull you out because they're going to put you in they crazy garbage. So, bro, you right in there.
Peace and
love,
family.
Be safe.
God bless. God bless. Thank
yeah.
you all.
You know what? I want to thank y'all for coming home, and I'm going to play this because Miss Kim thought about y'all leaving with y'all coming home. For our soldiers that did not get the marching bands and everything else.
When Johnny comes
we'll give you a
marching
step
home
out of
one
now.
Again, hoorah, hoorah, uh-huh. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah, mm-hmm. hoorah, mm-hmm. The men will cheer, the boys will sound, the ladies they when Johnny comes marching home. The old church bell will peal with joy. Hoorah, hoorah, to welcome home our darling boy. Hoorah, hoorah, the bidding's up and happy day. When Rosie's day will smooth away and river feel gay. When Johnny comes marching on home.
Y'all that were able to come marching home. We're grateful that you're still here with us. And for those that didn't make it home with us, we thank your families for the sacrifice that they made and losing their loved ones and that didn't come back home, or the ones that came back home but didn't come back home in their right state of mind that was traumatized. So for all of the things that you veterans have endured and your families have endured, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I truly, truly thank y'all. And I thank you for the education that y'all are providing to us. Excuse me. I thank you for everything that y'all have done.
You are
so more than
thank
welcome.
Thank you again. Thank you again. It was much appreciated. This was
my honor.
That I could have ever experienced in my military career. So thank you, Sister Antoinette.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank
Weston.
Thank you,
Elder Kwame, and the other veteran brother. I apologize for not being able to remember your name, but I really appreciate what you said.
Dota Fontwood. Documented original Tuskegee Airmen.
Thank you. Everyone. Thank you. Make me very proud to be an American and to be a Tuskegee Airman. Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, I also, Brother Billy, I also want to extend that also to your brother Walter. If you could thank him for me as well. For everything that he's done, not only him, but also Brother Ray. But, you know, you Fontoy brothers have done so much for this country. And I'd like to thank you all, you know, for everything that y'all have done.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And don't forget to, at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, you start drumming. That's Raymond.
That's right.
Fontoy's program.
Yes.
All over the world. Okay.
Yes.
We
love you too, and we thank your brother Walter. And you know, Brother Walter is the one who started the Black Caucus, and the Black Caucus, I'm sure, is not today's Black Caucus is not the Black Caucus that you know Brother Walter had initially
nowhere near it.
But we thank him for the way how it was in the beginning, the way how he had. He had established it. Thank him for it. And I pray that one day soon, it will go back to the way how he
how he had it started out to be. That
he was a founding member, Antoinette. He was a founding member. Okay.
Yeah. I'd love to see those bylaws. I would love to see the bylaws that they were going by back then. But that's another conversation. This is Brother Jeff. I'll reach out to you, Sister Antoinette, try to get some more information on that.
Okay.
I'm curious. I'm interested.
Okay.
I'm glad that you said that because I held back because I'm in Detroit and Mayor Young was the mayor of Detroit. He was a Tuskegee Airman and the 101 officers that they claimed was mutiny or whatever because they wanted to go into the officers' club because they were officers and they were supposed to be able to go in there. And the people were wrong, not the Tuskegee Airmen. Coleman Young wrote the statement that they used at the end of the thing, mm-hmm. and I sure would like to be able to find that. You think you could help me find that, Brother Billy?
I think it's in that the report that I gave you from Jared Martin Burton. So if it's not in there, I'll have to look it up. Okay.
Okay. I'd like to. I'm sorry, Miss Gill. Go ahead.
No. I just said thank you.
Mrs. Brown, Tuskegee Airmen, Brown, what's his first name, Miss Kim?
Dolores.
Yeah,
Dolores.
Her husband. I was speaking of the Tuskegee Airmen, her husband's name.
Oh. Do you know his name, Brother Billy?
No, I'm trying to think. I have to look it
up. I can't
think
of it right
now. Yeah.
Okay, well, the Tuskegee Airman Brown, last name is Brown.
Man.
Yeah, he was a Dota. Their daughter had a massive stroke last week. So Mrs. Brown asked that, you know, we keep her daughter in prayer. She couldn't be with us tonight because, you know, she's, you know, of course, taking care of her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, we can, you know, pray for her. And send out good thoughts and healing thoughts, and not only for her daughter, but also for Mrs. Brown, because we tend to forget the caregivers that, you know, that are given the care when it comes to our loved ones or to anyone. So we have to pray for her strength as well.
Also.
So I'm asking
Amen.
That y'all will please, you know, please pray for her and her daughter.
Amen.
And I'd like
Brother Ray and Brother Ray in prayer, but she's down in Miami. Whatever that is, that ain't going.
Yeah.
Didn't you say he was feeding the people or something, Brother? Okay.
Oh, I talked to him day before yesterday, and he was getting prepared. But based on what I've heard on the news, the storm didn't hit where he is directly, but they do have, you know, the water and wind. But it reduces when the storm hits
the
soil.
Mm-hmm.
A storm and not a hurricane. So,
yeah,
and
well,
I haven't heard anything
the,
from him, so I assume he's okay.
Yeah, we have to check on
his family.
I know for us, they're saying that, you know, it's a chance that we can get tornadoes, which, you know, we normally don't get
mm-hmm.
up this way from the storm.
Well, we don't get them in November down there, usually. This is the first time in several years that they had a hurricane come to Florida in November.
Yeah, so we're in treacherous times, you know, right now, but we're also in, you know, as Brother West, time to be alive, you know, so, but in this good time to be alive, we still have to reach back into the past and to bring it forward. We, you know, we have to reach out to our young folks and, you know, our older folks. You know, we still got it. We got to take care of each other. Yeah. And, you know, we have to continue to teach each other.
However will the younger people know what happened before if we don't tell them? Thank you.
That's
Thank
right.
you.
Yes, you're absolutely right. There's a book that I brought it for my grandchildren, and it's Tell Me Your Life, Grandmom. And in that book, it, you know, has all these different questions that you fill in about your own life. And I think that is such key. I mean, because everything that I do on these shows is going to be in my book about my life. You know, that's going to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of y'all, I mean, and, you know, just the different things that I've learned and experienced. This is
Amen.
A part of my life. This is a part of my book that's going to, you know, it's going to be left for my grandchildren. So I'm grateful for y'all for, you know, for every show, you know, that I do with Brother Eddie, that I do with you, Miss Kim, and, you know, with other people, you know, with the Tuskegee Airmen, with Brother Kwame, with you, Brother Jeff, and, you know, so many others. And I'm just so grateful that all of this is going to be left for my grandchildren. And, you know, hopefully for their children, you know, just for it to continue that they have a piece of my history, but it has expanded beyond me, you know,
Amen.
That came before me and that's coming after me and, you know, in the present. So I'm truly, truly grateful. And I, you know, I wish there was a way that, well, hopefully, you know, if the Internet, however it's going to be done in the future, that they'll still be able to pull back and pull this up and like, oh, this is what was going on then, and this is what she's talking about. So I thank y'all for being a part of my book.
Good night, and God bless you all.
Okay, yes, good night, y'all, and thank you so much for being with us. And again, we're going to leave you with Ms. Kim's This Is America. So thank you, Ms. Kim, for all of you. Thank you for your rendition and for everything that you have sent us and your music and for your dedication to the veterans. So thank you for you, Ms. Kim.
This man who spoke has much to learn. A man is born that way. And this is America. A man is born to walk the land in search of truth and trust, to pass the road from hand to hand and change the things he must. Oh, this is America, this land of mine. I stand behind the land of the free and the home of the brave. He's free to talk and wonder why, to say what's on his mind, to sleep beneath the quiet sky, unfettered, unconfined. Yes, this is America. A man is still a man in spite of anything he says, and for his freedom he will fight until it's here someday. Yes, this is America, this land of mine. I stand behind the land of the free.
Boston, the Black National Anthem.
The present has grown.
Difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory